Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Steve Frampton, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, our guest, Charlene Jones, will be joining us, and we'll be discussing the concept of quantum time. But before we get started, I'd like to introduce my co-host, Maureen. How are you this evening?
You know, I'm doing much better. Thank you very much. I climbed back out of my well.
Lovely wishing. Good.
Yeah, I feel much better. Thank you. And I hope you're feeling okay too, Steve, by the way.
I'm feeling good. Feeling good.
Okay. And I'm looking forward to your show. Yes, my name is Maureen, as you said. Tonight, that's what my name is, and I'm an intuitive psychic empath, and I utilize tarot as my main tool. I feel very certain that I'm right about the tarot being a symbolic record of human experience, and there you have it. And I love my work. It's very challenging at times, but it's what I must do, and I put everything I have into it, everything positive that I have, and I get a lot back, and I work alongside of everybody at PsychicAccess.com as well. Thank you.
Wonderful.
I bowed.
You bowed. Good, good. I was going to say, take a bow.
The proper bow. Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome. It's great to have you with us, as always, Maureen. It's going to be a good show. Well, Stephen, yeah. How are you doing?
I am peachy keen, sir. Thank you. How are you this evening?
Very well, thank you. Very well. Would you like to tell our guests about your work, Stephen?
Well, certainly. Thank you very much. Like yourself, I read tarot cards and practice astrology. You have actually been a big influence on me as with your hermetic astrology as well. And I do these things over at PsychicAccess.com along with you, and I'm very proud of that.
Thank you, Stephen. We're proud to have you on the team. Well, enjoy the show. And Carmen, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you. Thanks for having me back. Hello.
You're welcome, always. Well, would you like to tell our listeners about your work, Carmen?
Yes, hi. So I'm an intuitive empath, and I just think that my work evolved from learning how to read the tarot into a form of intuitive emotional intuition, which I utilize in order to help people understand and navigate their relationships. Yeah, so I mean, like a tarot reader with I'm able to feel people's emotions. So I'm very sensitive to people's emotions, and I'm a writer too, so I'm pretty good at being able to describe their emotion. That helps.
Good.
Yay.
Thanks. Well, thank you, Carmen. It's great
looking forward to
have
your
you
show.
With us.
Yeah, I'm really yes. looking forward to your show tonight. I can't wait. Yay.
Good. Well, we'll get started. Charlene is a wonderful guest. She's been with us before, and I have a lot of respect for Charlene and her work. She uses the unique Heart of Encouragement system of personalized coaching to help her clients as they identify life blocks that get in the way, obviously, and stop them from succeeding. She uses both cognitive theory and integrated intuition, and she listens to the resonance of her client's voice to identify hidden emotions, those stuck points, and giving voice to separated emotions that need to be reintegrated into healthier behaviors and choices. She's got many years of experience working with clients from all walks of life and different levels of trauma, and she has a very deep empathy for people and what they've experienced. If you would like to learn more about Charlene, Her website is charlainejones.com. That's charlainejones.com. I do recognize you. Check it out. There's some really great information and material there. And we're very happy to have Charlaine back with us. Well, Charlaine, good evening.
Hello, Steve. Very happy to be here with you all tonight.
It's wonderful to have you with us, Charlaine. Thank you for accepting our invitation to come back.
It's a beautiful day for us to have done it as well, this wonderful 12-12 energy.
Yes, 12-12-13. Mm-hmm. Well, Charlaine, my first question for you is actually about my understanding, because I've heard you refer in your work to the elders, and mm-hmm. you use the term the grandmothers. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask you if you could explain to us what you mean when you refer to the elders and the grandmothers.
Yeah, sure. In my tradition, it is about following in the footsteps of those who come before us. And in particular, I am from a very matriarchal training and clan and just energy around us. And I follow a goddess path. And from that is the idea of the mother, maiden, crone. And the grandmothers in this are the ones who came through 70, 80 years ago and started changing what was happening on this planet. And they're the ones who held harmonic convergence, and they're the ones who were talking about Sedona before it was very popular, and they were the ones who traveled to sacred sites around the world. And then as I began to wake up, they were the ones who had written the books or were holding ceremonies and were, you know, right now we have the internet and people can hear your all's radio shows, but before we had to find each other. And these are the women who held spaces for young women to show up and learn and ask questions. And I have a series of 70 and 80 year olds in my life who have been strong, strong women of the light in lots of different traditions. So when I say grandmothers, it's not only in the astral and in the ancestors realm, it's also right here in this lifetime. And I travel with them and I hold ceremony with them and I just learn by being in the presence of these great souls.
It's wonderful. I love the term women of the light. Mm-hmm.
It's not a casual term for, you know, as any of you all know, we work here as spiritual souls. We work very much for the advancement of humanity. And sometimes that is not as simple as it seems.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know you do great work. You're definitely a woman of the light, Charlaine. And now we entitled the show Quantum Time.
Yes.
And I wanted to ask you next to explain the concept of quantum time for our listeners and for me, actually.
Okay.
I always learn from you, Charlaine. I learn lots of new things.
We have fun together. We do. So I want to take it from last year we were holding the 12-21-12 gateway open and having all of this energy coming forward. And then we moved into this time of, and I use the analogy of a boat coming to rest, and there's all this jet wash that moves in behind it, and finally you land, you know, at the dock and are ready to step off. So here in this next quantum time, 2013 was a null point year. It's that point of, it's like a zero. It's completed a cycle. It's come all the way around to rest. And so in quantum time, we had all the information about the Mayans. We had all the information about Hermetic astrology. We had numerology. But we really haven't talked about, you know, what happened in 2013. 2013 in numerology had the resonance of a six. And we get ready to go over into 2014 to a seven. So we have this energy progression. And so when I'm talking about quantum time, I'm not talking about the linear Georgian calendar, I'm talking about what happens in the universality of humanity here on this planet, and then the energy that's coming into us now because of the gateways that were opened. And they were opened by many, many of us and many different traditions and generations and learning. You know, as I heard the introduction of your compatriots here, all of them come to this point through many different traditions.
Well, it's fascinating. I love the way you describe it, Charlene. So I know that we've talked in the past about 2012 and that gateway. And I wanted to ask you if you could help us to understand what that shift and what 2013 has symbolized in terms of our individual lives and experiences of the year.
Yeah, I will address that because for many of us, it was a year of, oh my God, why wasn't this easy? And there was this expectation, okay, we just got to get ourselves to this gateway. And I think it was an expectation that was set up. I mean, I've traveled a lot in and out of this country this year. And we talk about when I'm in Europe or when I'm, you know, in Israel or when we're in these different places about what really shifted. And so in 2012, there was all these expectations of, okay, are we ready? Can we get ourselves there? It was like getting ready to go, okay, am I done with that? And what am I going to take with me? And are we really going to get there? And then 2013 was here about, well, did that come through or not? And did I really want that? So it was a year of introspection. And for a lot of us, I'm talking about my clients and then other people as I encountered them as I traveled, a lot of us, it was not an easy year. It was not a year of, oh, well, I'm done and now I can rest and let's go to the beach. It was a year of, wait, oh, that. And that could be huge and life-changing and life-shattering from those old paradigms. I think you and I talked about as we were doing the write-up for this of, you know, what forced parameters were in place that said, when you get to the other side, are you really going to want those? But we held on to them so strongly and said, yeah, I've got to have that. I've got to have that. And then we get over here and go, why was that important?
Yeah, it's been almost a year of waking up, of putting things in their true perspective. I think that's my feeling about this year personally, but also what I've seen from many, many clients.
Yeah.
It's always recalibrating.
Recalibrating is a great word. And then I get a little bit of a resonance around a true perspective. I know that when I was looking at things 10 years ago, I had no idea that I could imagine what we have now. So true is relative. And I'm going to feed that back to this aspect of quantum time. What is the resonance that we carry that opens our hearts to a trueness? What opens us to something that's calling us into this deeper space of heart resonance rather than, you know, I've got a very strong left brain, you know, here, let's go out and find about this and all of that. But the left brain isn't what helps me the most with my clients. It's what helps me explain to them why they do what they do. But it's this heart space that's opened. And that's the piece that we moved through the gateway with. We moved into this connection of heart resonance and this deeper connection of self. And some people didn't. And that's what I'm talking about, the struggle of 2013. We've seen so much.
Oh, shit. Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
For sure. Yeah. Seen a lot of struggles in certain people. Well, Charlene, then tell us what the theme is for 2014, because obviously it's almost Christmas. Mm-hmm. We'll be in the new year before we know it. Mm-hmm. What's the theme? What should we expect? What should we be focusing on?
So if 2013 was a year of coming to rest, 2014 is picking your foot up and stepping on out into the light.
Yeah.
And it's stepping out in a way not of dun da da, I am Superwoman or Superman and I have arrived, but it's like blink, you use the word waking up. It's blinking your eyes, looking around, seeing where you've landed. And, you know, for many of us, it's a lonely road. There's not many others standing here. You know, in this, some communities, people are even afraid to even talk about what their skills are and what they know. And, I mean, I'm blessed to have a really deep community around me. And it took a while to find that. And it took, and so that's what 2014 is about. It's a year of being out there and finding some of the other spiritual light as a lighthouse, being that beacon. And for some people, they don't want to be that really bright light, but their light is like a pilot light that has come on. And it sets there and it's beginning to warm them up and wake them up and move them forward.
Well, I know you've used the term shifting the field. Mm-hmm. And I've also heard you talk about the human resonance factor in the media, Charlene. So can you talk to us about shifting the field and the human resonance factor as well?
Yes, and a beautiful example of that is the world focus on mandalas passing and the energy for many of us who are empaths. The grief that worked through the energy field all around the world. I don't know if you're on Facebook or if you're connected to people in different kind of places. We as a collective felt that even if you didn't know anything was happening. I had so many clients calling me in crisis going, what is going on? And, you know, you can talk about what was happening in the sky. And I didn't even try to talk to them about that. I would say to them, look, we're all connected. And the passage of this great soul, it takes a moment. We pause as a people and as a human being race for each of us to test what the field feels like without the presence of this great soul. And from that, there's this pause and then a breath that reaches back to us and says, and you're still connected. And I don't know if that was specific enough to answer what you ask about, but it is that human resonance of us understanding not everybody's an empath, but we're all connected to something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm a big fan of astrology, and I often say to clients, there is this connection between the movement of the planets in our solar system and beyond, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And well, that and what is occurring within each of us individually, we know for sure that the movement of the planets somehow describes what's occurring or what needs to occur within a person or within a nation or on the planet. So there's no doubt about our interconnectedness. And I also say to client Charlene that the weather here is to be respected. We're living in this environment and we're connected with it. In other words, if a tornado blows through my town, it's going to affect me. I'm not separate from it. And astrology describes the weather above on the astral plane where our souls reside. Mm-hmm. So there's a definite interconnection. I like the way you've explained that. I know that when we talked in advance of the show, we spoke briefly about vortexes. And interestingly, I've been reading some fascinating books this week and read a lot about sunspots, which are vortexes. Mm-hmm. And I was reading about the pyramids, which apparently are built on vortexes in order to prevent more catastrophic occurrences on the planet. And we have vortexes within us as individuals, our chakras, etc. So can you tell us a little bit about vortexes from your perspective, Charlene, and quantum time?
Yeah. I'm going to make a little distinction. There's a difference between a portal and a vortex. Portals are something that we talk about, oh, I go here and this happened and I stepped into a different realm. For me, in my training, a vortex is earth-centered. It's something that has an energy resonance that is in the physicality of the earth plane, and it is a generated space by something other than humanity. It doesn't mean that we can't open portals. We do all the time. That's a whole separate conversation, so I just want to make that clarity. And then when we talk about vortexes, we can talk about the sacred sites of the pyramids or Machu Picchu or some of the different pyramid sites all around the world. You can do the depth and the study about that. And from that is the connectedness of from that galactic energy down to the earth energy. And it's the connection of earth to earth. And so when we do that and we talk about vortex energy, it's not energy of electricity like we see as we flip on a switch and see it in our houses. It's a manifestation of something, just like you talked about a sunspot. We can, on the physics realm, explain what that sunspot is, but we don't exactly know what it means to the sun because we're not in that center.
And what it means to us individually as well.
Yes,
because of that interconnectedness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's that interconnectedness, and it's if we talk about, then add the layer here of quantum time, it's all happening simultaneously. And that's a big concept to wrap our brain around, but there is no past, present, and future. It's all happening here in this now of now moment. And in that now of now moment, there are these concentrated spaces. And we, in this language, in this time, call that a vortex. And we need to be very, very careful about what inner doorways we open in ourselves. And so this is what I talk with you frequently about, having this open heart space. And it's not open, oh, I love everything in the universe, but it's much more that concentrated in center space of I am love and I am connected to the love of the universe. And it's that law of flow. And I know I just gave you several terms and concepts there. So, you know, let's talk about which direction you want to go there.
Well, I really, really took note of your term inner doorways, mm-hmm. the inner doorways that we open and allow ourselves. You know, I'm very interested in how we manifest alchemy, etc. So I'm interested to ask you to go into some more detail, Charlene, on those inner doorways that we open.
Okay. And from that, again, here's the caveat. And it's the caveat of be careful what you ask for. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those kind of things, again, in your teaching, you talk about hermetic astrology and there's all this hermetic learning. In the old lifetimes and in the old ways, we would have studied in the wisdom schools, mm-hmm. the left and right eye of Horus, or in some of the other different traditions. Right now, we have access as a country and a people to something called the internet and a computer. We also have access to psychedelics. And not that they wasn't a part of traditions and old ways, but they were taught in reverence. And they were taught, again, in very controlled circumstances. So when I talk about inner doorways, I'm talking about that psychic access and essence of who you are. That's in the light. And it's in a way and a resonance that carries the signature of the truest piece of you that's part of your soul that's connected to the greater soul. And when we're in that connection, the flow has this higher resonance. And it's not higher as in five stories up. It's just if you listen to the frequency, it's not a low sound. It's very much a higher resonance and a frequency that has distance and time and space in it, because we as human beings think in a linear fashion.
Yeah, we do, for sure. And the concept of quantum time, that everything is occurring now, it really just completely blows away that whole mm-hmm. feeling of linear time, that we're moving from A to B to C, etc., mm-hmm. or that things take time.
Yeah, well, that's the funny thing. We can only think of the little children who are waiting for Christmas to be here, and they're like, oh, it's never going to pass, never going to pass. And for us, when we're out here going, oh, my Lord, I've got to get this done because I've got to go to that next place, time is nothing. You look up and hours have been are gone.
Yes.
So I'm actually talking about it at a different level, on the quantum time level, about what's that resonance, what's that heart call that gets you from 5 years ago when you didn't know anything about being in the United States to 10 years from now when you've traveled the world. It's that piece of you, that future self of you, who understands your next step. And that's the doorway that I'm talking about. And we have lots of traditions. I'm not going to say that they don't exist out there. They do. Buddha studies, Sikh studies, Whirling Dervish. Just picks different kind of traditions. All of them speak consistently about you have to go inside. There's this inner space. And once we begin to open those doorways, some of the rest of these things begin to manifest, not really as a side effect, but at the same time, because we are connecting to something that already exists. Do you follow that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I want to ask you about crystal children as well, Charlaine, because you were explaining to me a week or two ago that there are some very new energies and entities arriving on the planet, and you use the term crystal children, which I've heard before. But how do they differ from us in terms of their inner space?
Sure. And again, I'm going to go back and give you the context. The elders that came through, they were, the term that's used is called bridges of swords. They're the ones who came through and opened doorways. They were the first ones here. They were the one who said, no, that's not right. I mean, that's when we had civil changes. That's when we had protests. That's when we had, not just here in this country, but around the world. We're a next wave. We're bridges of light. We're the ones who were taking what they had started to create and go, oh, yeah, sure, I can go to college and find this information. Or sure, we can go get on a plane and in 12 hours be, you know, halfway around, not around the world, but around the country or even in a different country. That didn't exist for them. And then it's the next children. It's the 20-year-olds who are having, it's 20 to 40-year-olds. Some of my friends are in their late 30s and 40s having babies. They're the ones who are bringing in, because each of us have done our own work, we're now bringing our resonance up. They're bringing in this new energy in children. And when you and I were talking about this, I'm talking about when you look at some children, you go, oh, you are such an old soul. I've known you many different times. These new children, when you look at them, they don't know those rules. And they're beautiful, and they have just this sparkle energy around them. And that sparkleness is because they just don't have that resonance that says, I'm going to struggle. Some of my friends with their children right now, they just are so happy.
So there is a shift in consciousness because these children are not expecting scarcity or...
I'm going on because, you know, each generation, if they can, want the lives of their children to be better than what they had. For example, in my life, I have nieces and nephew who were out of the country on cruises by the time they were 9, 10, and 11. In my childhood, when I was 9, 10, 11, we went to Disney World, right? And so some of this...
I went to St. Gosselin.
And that
which was about 20 miles down the road, I think.
So how do you get where you are right now? That's just an example of a physical shift, but there were always, even in the Depression, there were Rockefellers, right? There's always been this next wave that's here. But because we are doing our work, because we have opened our hearts in a particular way, that group, this young group that are coming, and they're six and under. You know, there might be a few that are older than that, because surely you're going to hear from your clients and from the people who call in tonight. They have those kids. And these kids are just, they're going to be the ones who invent whatever the inheritor to the computer is or to the iPhone. They just have this skill and knowingness about themselves that I can go back and study all that I want to, and it's never going to be a part of the ease that they have. They're just born with.
Yeah, they're just born with a different energy completely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes, again, I talk about traveling, but you could do it at the mall. You could be walking around and looking at kids and go, "Hi, welcome to Earth. You're going to have fun here."
And you were saying to me before, Charlene, that they haven't been here before. They haven't necessarily lived, they're not necessarily reincarnating here. Mm-hmm. They haven't been to Earth before.
Mm-mm. That is my understanding, and is my training and teaching. I mean, obviously, I can't go up to each of them and say, "Oh, look, when was the last time you were on Earth? Oh, 100 million years ago?" Or we don't think in linear time. What I get told frequently is the piece of, we don't have time. We can't give you the context. We don't speak like that. And you know, we hear that in Abraham's work with Esther Hicks, and we hear that from some of the other channelers. We hear that consistently of, why are you worried about that? You have everything that you need. You're here in love. So as that collective starts to show up on the planet, they also come in connected to that resonance, and they're connected to that understanding that everything that they need is here. Now, let me give the other piece. That doesn't mean that they don't have to learn to be in a physical body. They do. And we see that sometimes the younger kids sometimes are very clumsy until they figure it out. And it's like you can watch them play with their hands. Steve, I don't know how much you've been around babies, but babies are always very tactile, reaching and touching and grasping and looking. These children seem to take an extra bit of time to study their hands and to look at things. And that was the example that I gave you of there's just in wonder and awe of, ooh, if I do this, my finger moves. You know, every parent who just heard that laughs and go, yeah, I know what you mean. And all the rest of us, you know, you're going, okay, I hope I know what she's talking about.
No, I love it. I always love listening to you, Charlene. And I always find that you share things with me that I haven't heard anywhere else. And you know, I'm somebody that reads a lot. I read and research a lot, but I always hear something different from you. You always stretch my mindset and expand my paradigm. Well, Charlene, we're going to take a short break.
Sure.
But after that, we're going to talk about the spiritual law of flow. Mm-hmm. And we'll be back shortly.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Well, welcome back, Charlene. I want to ask you to share with us the concept of the spiritual law of flow.
Mm-hmm. You know, most of the information that's out there is about the law of attraction. And we talk about Tehote and the Emerald Tablets. And again, we go back to the wisdom schools and Hermetic teachings and the ancient wisdoms. And again, I go back to my galactic understanding and energy understanding of everything is connected. There is this piece of flow, P-A-C-E, of flow. And there are moments when you just know that you're connected. And the next piece is as simple as breathing. And then there's other times when you have, you're just like, what just happened? Nothing's going right. It's all kind of fractured and just jangled and a piece here and a piece there. And so if it's something as simple as pausing and taking a breath and coming back into your heart center. And so when I talk about the law of flow, it is a higher concept again. And again, not higher as in 1, 2, 3, but higher as in frequency. And if you had somebody who was an engineer or a physicist on here, they could talk about the hertz and the resonance and the polarity of all of that. But what I'm talking about is connectivity with the energy of rightness and its right time and right action. And it's not as in right and wrong or left and right. That's polarity. So in the law of flow, great example that many of us will understand is you go up to a red light and you either make a turn left at this light or you go down two and you make a left at the next light. And you just pause a minute and something says, okay, take a left here. And you hear a wreck in about 3 seconds or something. And you would have been down there when that happened. That's that piece of listening to the flow and turning the way you need to. Going back to children, there's not a parent alive that suddenly get this feeling to, oh, wow, I need to go check on my child in the other room because we don't know why. You just go and check the other room. That's that pull piece. That's that tug that says your attention is needed. So taking that basic concept, I'm then building on it and bringing it up to the next level of the law of flow of connection. And then you talked about manifestation. You bring it on up to the next piece. So micro, meso, macro. You bring it on up to the macro level. And when we start manifesting there, it's about the highest blessing and the highest frequency and the highest light, L-I-G-H-T. And so when we're in this higher resonance of the law of flow, it is simply, it's as simple as breathing and being connected. And the more that you turn toward that, the more that you start listening to those subtle movements, I don't pretend to say that I have it mastered, nor do I pretend to say that it's easy. Because our chaos minds, our left brain minds, our ego minds go, well, that didn't just happen. And you get home and you say to people, oh my gosh, the weirdest thing just happened to me today. If I had just kept going, I'd have been in a car wreck. And so there's those different levels of flow and connectivity. And when you open to this heart space, when you open to your inner knowingness and you open to the call of the universe, that's when that flow can begin to build. And it starts sometimes as a single drop of rain, and then it sounds like a little bit more, and then it's a stream, and then it's a babbling brook. And sometimes it can be a rushing river, and you're like, woo, I don't want that. And sometimes it's as big as the ocean, and you just are it. And sometimes you are all the way connected, and you don't need to do anything. You just be it.
I remember going into meditation once, and I was in a lecture theater in the meditation, and I was listening to a wise one speaking to all of the people there, and a lady put her hand up and he said, yes, madam, if you have a question, I'll be happy to answer it. And she said, how do you find something? And he said, it's very easy, madam, never look for it.
That's exactly it. You were very simple. You answered the question in two words, you know.
Yeah, never look for it. Don't look for it. Be, release, enjoy, be now. But I wanted to say to you, Charlene, that, you know, I was taught that when we leave the physical world, when we leave behind this physical body, this shell, this tool that we must have in this physical environment, we leave and we revert to the astral plane, or and we work our way above that eventually. But it's all telepathic. The communication is telepathic. Any movement is telekinetic. So I was taught, learn as much as you can about telepathy, psychic ability, sensitivity, intuition, making things happen with your mind, manifestation, telekinesis, because when you leave the physical world, that's what you'll be working with.
Okay, so I'm going to be me and ask you, what are you really asking there? Because in quantum time, it's all happening at the same time. In that space, you are telekinetic, that you are connected, you all of that, you know. And so are you asking me about being earthed on earth in a physical body and what we are to bring here? Or, see, I don't make a distinction between what you just asked. Maybe that's the way for me to answer your question.
Yeah, well, I think what I want to ask you is, I know that we're present on the astral plane, that we are already there.
Yes.
I know that's where the soul resides, but we're also having this physical human experience. How can we make most use of telepathy, telekinesis, alchemy, manifestation in our experience now of this physical plane?
Okay. And so, again, in answering your question, it is this idea of separateness. Each of those labels that you just said and put on there is in a linear way for you to understand that that's your next progression to practice and experience it. Again, I would say to you that you've had moments of those happening in your life when you look and went, what just happened? How do I know that? Or something missing, and you know that you know where it is, and you finally just give up and say, okay, I know this here is here, and you walk back and it's laying on the kitchen table. It's pulling things through those time and space quadrants. And again, that's a whole nother show. But when we're here, and I'm touching my heart, when we're here in this space, in this now of this body, when we're in this space, as of, what is it, 8:42 on 12:12:13 p.m. Eastern, that creates its own resonance. And I'm suggesting that you could do a future regression and say, okay, 10 years from now, when I look back to this point in time, what can I send back to them so that they're connected easier? Because I would believe at another point in time, you look back on your history and I look back on my history and I send such love to that child at that moment. They don't know what they're feeling, but they're experiencing that upwelling of light. And I'm not, redirect me, I'm not exactly sure I'm answering your question. And it may be a fundamental difference. You're looking at it from one side and I'm looking at it from another side. Steve, are you there?
Yeah,
Steve, where are you?
I am here. Sorry, I was babbling away like that bubbling brook.
You just went out into a different one. There you go. Steve went into the future and called himself backwards.
Well, I know you're definitely answering my question, but I guess what I'm saying is, how can we make things happen now?
You can't make anything happen now. There's no making things happen. There isn't a point of allowing. Making things happen is, sorry, I just got passionate about that. Let me take a breath. Making things happen is a left brain, ego-driven demand. I can get in that space and make things happen, and people are housed and people are fed and my clients are wonderful, and I'm exhausted. It's using the energy in a way that is detrimental to me. This is that law of flow and the peace, P-A-C-E, of allowing. And I'm not, Steve, you know me, I'm not some kind of big, massive spiritual guru that goes up and sits on, you know, and spends my whole life in meditation, and it's not a bad thing. I just happen to not choose that in this lifetime. I live here and walk around in this world, and making things happen is not manifestation. It's ego-driven.
So we shouldn't try.
Well, isn't that the example that you gave of the man on the stage saying to her, "Madam, stop looking."
Don't look. Yeah. So do you believe then that we really should just be focused on this moment now?
Well, if I think that was easy and that was something that was available, the conversation here would be totally different. I think that's part of the progression and the learning of what's mine to do and what different than what's my responsibility. And I'm using language here in a way that may have a different context for a lot of people. Eckhart Tolle is one of the ones that's out there in a very famous way about the power of now and being in this moment and only having this breath. However, he was homeless on a park bench for 2 years. Most of us don't want to do that. Most of us are here in the everyday context of living and working and turning on our lights and paying our bills. In that space, it's taking that breath and that moment of space to say, I matter, and what's my next step? And listening at that deep level, listening at that subtle level for what is that next step. And sometimes that next step is to let a whole lot of things go. And then we grieve it. I mean, that's what 2013, I'm circling all the way back to the beginning now. 2013 for a lot of people has been letting things go that we thought we would never want to let go. And I'm including myself in that.
Yeah, like I can certainly include myself in that, Charlene. I've made decisions this year that needed to be made, but that I just egotistically couldn't make before. And this year, my priorities just feel very different. They really do.
Yeah, and in the finding out that those priorities feel very different, there's energy that's freed up. There's a space in you that's freed up. It doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt like hell. It did. And it doesn't mean that the growth was easy. It wasn't. And the evolution, because I set intention, inner intention, and gave attention to it, I put my focus and I put my strength to it. And it's, again, it's not muscle strength. It's like, okay, whew, I'm going to be still and really listen here. And it was not easy. You've been a part of that progression. You know firsthand, it was not easy. And I would challenge any of the people, you know, who are listening here and talking about this, tell me when it was easy. Wasn't.
It's funny because there was a moment, you know me, I'm always busy doing this and that. And there was a moment this morning when my guide said, just sit still. And I almost felt, well, to do what? And he said, just listen. Yeah. And I sat here and I wasn't listening with my ears. I sat here and I was just listening to what I sense as I just gaze out of the window. Listening to what's important to me, what's important now. And it was very peaceful, but very powerful.
It's that depth of resonance that I'm talking about. From that space of connectedness and that peacefulness, the next step, the next decision, the next movement isn't simple, and yet it's there. It carries its own tone. And again, I talk about the things that we laid down in 2013. Some of them I've carried for the longest of time and wanted and thought that that was the most important thing. And, oh, my God, I was going to die if I didn't have it. It's no longer important. The priorities have shifted. They just have. And the next moment, they shifted again.
How do you feel that the shift in energy, the shift in priorities manifests itself in the world more generally, so politically or economically, for example?
I think that's the part of the awakening and the awareness of people looking up and blinking around. We're doing it. I use the thing, you know, micro, meso, macro. People right now, because we have access to information to know what's happening in other countries, we pick up, okay, why did that show up in the media and not that? Mm-hmm. Why did...
Particularly in the U.S., Charlene.
Particularly, you and I talk about that frequently.
The media in the U.S. has its hands over its ears or pretends to. And I read things that go on in the world and they don't get mentioned in the U.S.
Yeah, I see. That's the piece about PIECE, about what do you want to know? Go out there and seek and dig for it. And there's always someone who knows. Now, they can be small, quiet voices, particularly given the access that we have on the internet. We're not in countries where it's censored. You can go out and look for different kind of things. There's always someone writing about it. There's videos, there's YouTubes, there's radio shows. There's always someone out there speaking about this in a way that opens the next doorway, right? How do we know about Mandela? How do we know about him?
It's interesting because there seems to be this shift away from mainstream media to more personalized, real media.
I think that's, again, you and I talk about the level of connectedness, right? You have people that are connected to you around the world. I have people that are connected around the world. If we want to know something because of technology right now, we can hop on the internet or go on Facebook, or, you know, you can pick up the phone if people still actually have phones in their houses and call them. And in that, you have a personal human-to-human connection. And in that connectedness, we have this ability to say, okay, what is true here for me? So you said earlier, you know, what's the real truth? And the answer is it's relative. It's relative to the context and the information and the education that you have about it. What's so different about now is we have the potential to find out so much more than we ever had before. We don't have to go spend a whole lifetime in a wisdom school clustered away from everybody else. We can have this radio show and introduce so many topics that people's heads are spinning and going, what'd she say? We have this opportunity that exists because we are here at this planet in this time and in this way.
Well, Charlene, I always love talking to you. I'm going to have to listen to the interview a couple of times because there's so much to think about. I want to ask you, though, what do you have planned for in terms of your activities, your professional activities? How can we find out more about you, your work, and what you've got on offer in 2014?
Yeah, I'm going to continue to be traveling in 2014. There's a trip to Germany. There's a trip to South Africa. There are places where we're going to be at sacred sites. I've talked with, you know, several different people about holding women's retreats here in the sacredness of the Smoky Mountains. Some of that is going to be based on a travel schedule. I have plane tickets to New Hampshire and other things happening already. For me, that seven energy and the spiritual warrior of light energy that's happening next year is about being moved around the planet and help clearing some of these blocked energies. There's no right or wrong. Everything is good. And there's something about the energy that I'm holding that is to get in front of people and say to them, you're okay, you're not going crazy, this is actually what's happening, and here's why. And because I have that talent and that connected and that understandingness, moving around the world, I mean, I just need a plane ticket and an invitation. Off we go. Because there's this connectedness that's happening more than just, oh, there's a small group of us and we're going to meet at our house every Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. That was important. We did that. Now it's time to take it different places.
Now the world is open.
Yeah. And exciting. So at other times it would have been, okay, we're going to take a trip to the sacred sites of Ireland or to the Middle East or to Australia, or now we go different places. I mean, I've slept on the floor in lots of different countries and been in people's houses where the best that they offered me was things here in the America people won't even know about. I've been on in the Arctic Circle. I've been lots of different places. And every place I'm connected to a human being who loves where they are. They have so many things they want to show me. So earlier you asked to tell you about the elders and that circle of grandmothers. It's just that, Steve. It's taking what we know and mentoring it and offering it out in that beautiful, loving, connected way.
Well, Charlene, it's been wonderful to have you with us again. I want to thank you, and all of our listeners will be able to listen to the interview again on iTunes or through the Psychic Access Talk Radio website. And we'll be following and listening to what you're up to next year, Charlene. I would love you to come back next year and tell us more about what you discover and have to share as you move through your travels in 2014.
I'm sure it'll be exciting. You'll hear about it, I know.
Great.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Charlene. Mm-hmm. Great. That was a wonderful interview, and I really do enjoy listening to Charlene because she really makes me think. I've got a lot of respect for her knowledge, and she shared so much with us tonight. And do remember, if you want to make contact with Charlene or learn more about her work, you can look at her profile, Charlene Jones, at psychicaccesstalkradio.com, or you can visit her website, charlenejones.com. Now, before we move on, I would like to make a few short announcements. Stay tuned for the second half of the show to get a free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We'll announce the call-in number a little later on, so have your pen and paper ready. And if you were unable to catch last week's show, you'll find that on the psychicaccesstalkradio.com website. Just click on the archives tab. All of our shows, including today's, are listed there, although they get posted after the show is finished, obviously. But feel free to circulate those links with your amongst your friends, your family. We want to connect with as many people as possible, so if you can help us with that, we would be very grateful. Do visit our website, psychicbloggers.com. You can learn about all kinds of things, such as a paranormal investigation, psychic development, crystals, you name it. If it's esoteric, if it is metaphysical, you will find information at psychicbloggers.com. And all of that information is free for you to read and share with whoever you like. And if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the internet, go to psychicaccess.com. You'll find that all of our readers are verified, accuracy tested, and each offering their unique gifts. Each psychic also has a detailed profile so that you can find out more about them and select the reader that you feel can best meet your needs and answer your questions at that time. They really are authentic, gifted psychics, so do check them out. It's an honor to be with Psychic Access, and Doug, we have very high expectations of ourselves and of the service we offer to our clients, and we're very proud of what we do. All of the co-hosts here on psychicaccesstalkradio.com, Maureen, Stephen, and Carmen, are available at Psychic Access, so if ever you'd like some insight or support from either one of us, you can find us at psychicaccess.com, and we would love to hear from you. If you have have your own website, remember that you can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading that is transferred from your site to psychicaccess.com. And if you'd like to know more about that program, please visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And if you like our show, invite your friends to join us. You can come along, join in our chat room, and listen to the Psychic Viewpoints. There's something for everyone, so spread the word. Now, we're not going to take calls just yet, but I'm going to give you the number, and it is 724-444-4851. That's 724-444-4851. And when you do get through to us a little later in the show, remember to have your question ready. It's one question per caller, because we want to speak with as many people as possible. And we'll look forward to you calling in a little later on. Well, let me ask you, Maureen, what thoughts did that interview with Charlaine generate for you as you were listening?
Peace.
Yeah, she is.
No, peaceful. Really, really. I felt much peace. And, you know, I also felt it was a very lovely cohesiveness to her, with the interview with you as well. This makes sense with you there, too, for both of you. And also, it wasn't such a particular subject. It wasn't a topic. You know what? It was just authentically... It was like really, I felt, I don't know if this is the right wording, anybody doesn't like it, oh well. It was like a meaty, but really an it type of truth. And what I was listening, the part that I was paying a lot, got my interest mostly, before, you know, because I was so peaceful, I started getting really peaceful and a little bit sleepy, in a good way though, because I haven't been able to sleep, but I was listening to her say something about how, oh, now I'm losing it, my thought, hold on a minute, go to the next person, she really gave me some peace, and I thank you for that too.
She did, and I felt the same. I really love, I could just listen to Charlaine all day, because she does have this energy that's just... so calming, so
it's
healing.
It's so present. She's mm-hmm. was so present, and it's not a big, you know, I'm going to use the word psychobabble. It doesn't really apply, but it wasn't a bunch of this or that. When she was talking about, I just had it back there, ego. And, you know, everything, I'm putting myself in there. We all messing around with ourselves, the ego. And also, it would also really, I reflected on about what we're doing here. And it wasn't like, you know, she's saying, well, this is exactly right or this is it. But the two of you talking were just wonderful and blended. But what she was saying, I was really thinking and peacefully thinking about that, about what are we doing here. And what she was saying, it's not so much whether I agree or not or if I will say this word, I don't like it, resonate, okay? But what I did feel was a sense of belonging when she was talking. So it was almost like, you know what I mean? It wasn't like, I just sent a sense of authentic belonging without me thinking, okay, what she's saying. It just felt like that. And, you know, about like what we're supposed to take, you know, my view, and I don't know if she actually said this, but it didn't matter about how she would, it's just about her presence. It's almost like, I got it. I got what she was saying, and I feel strongly about it. I may not be wording it right, but we're supposed to get, you know what you said about, and everybody said, there's that wording, we're here in a human, making a human, what is it, how do you say it? Human experience, spiritual, how does it go? Stevie said it earlier.
Here on the physical plane, having a human experience.
Yeah, I think that's silly. I mean, no offense. I think it's the other way around, and it's Anton that used to speak about that. We're here, it would be the other way around. If we're a human, we're spiritual beings having a human experience, is what I feel. Anton speaks about that. I feel very strongly that really does seem right to me. Because I feel that we then go and give our report when we go and die. We go and give our report. What did we get? We're spiritual beings in a human situation. Why wouldn't it go both around, you know, in mutual I don't know. Do you follow me what I'm saying on that?
I do. What really intrigued me was when you said that you felt a sense of belonging, because I always feel that with Charlene as well.
Yeah, if it really was really nice.
I just feel very peaceful, very safe.
Yeah, and I wasn't, you know, like I said, and you know, Snow, you know, I'm open with everybody about what I go through, and it's not, it's just like I'm so sick of my stuff, but it is what it is. But it was a real lovely, and I thank you for it. It was a real lovely, unexpected gift, and it was all about me, isn't it? Again, you guys, all about me, but it really was. It was very unexpected, and it was lovely, and it was a gift. It was lovely. I did feel a nice sense of belonging without really paying much attention to what, you know, it's just like. It was just right, and it was nice. Thank you for having her join us and you, and with you interviewing Stu. It was really lovely. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Charlene. I just called you Charlene.
See, I like that. That means I have that effect. No, and I mean that from my heart. And, you know, if I had two hearts for me. But, yeah, and I thank you because it was really nice, and it was very – it's those things and nice little gifts that come around. Never loved the gift more than the giver. So, you know, I know I do appreciate it because I wasn't expecting it. I feel really good. I'm not on a drunken stew thinking, oh, okay, I'm feeling it was really nice. You know what I mean? It was very nice. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Well, thank you, Maureen. Well, let me ask Carmen. Carmen, what came up for you as you listened to Charlene share her knowledge and thoughts with us? I think Carmen's on mute. Let me go to Stephen.
Thank you.
Oh, Carmen, you're there.
Here. I was in a time bubble.
No worries.
That's all right. I think that, you know, we're just in the infancy of the perception of time right now as to what we're allowed to think about it. And really, it is still on a linear forward-moving agenda. And what I think will be interesting, what this has brought to light, is that in physics we might end up with two different schools of thought, which would be one would posture that there is no time, past, present, or future, and some would postulate that it would be forward moving, like with the Big Bang and then the Big Crunch. So I do, though, understand her perceptions and find it very interesting to also, it would be very wonderful if it could be a field of study in that, and I'm sure that will come up. And one of the things I thought was, so just like different schools of philosophy, time itself probably is going to be viewed in certain ways, and that's in its quanta, I guess, and that's part of the mystery that we're going to endeavor to discover. I think it's fascinating. It's just my topic, and I wanted to say thank you for mentioning the children, because I'm putting everything into them, and I'm betting on the fact that they're going to have some free-speaking, enlightened parents that have been able to take all of religion and possibly even science and blend it, and also perceive perhaps our grief through their empathy and perhaps to help redesign a better world. And I agree that some of them will probably be lighter, more mature beings. I've noticed that maybe it's only because I've become more sensitive in the last few years, but I would have to notice that the children these days look indescribably older than even some of my peers. And I want to put all my faith into them, and I think that that's one of the really good meanings and one of the really good thoughts I've got from tonight. So thank you. It was a very, very positive and uplifting talk.
It was. Thank you, Carmen. Well, Stephen, what came up for you? What were you thinking?
Well, first of all, I have to congratulate you on handling that complex topic very skillfully. You basically condensed what is a banquet of information into a sample platter. Now, that's no small feat to do. But first of all, I'm just going to restrict my commentary to two topics that Charlene brought up. First, matriarchy in religion, and then second, the notion of manifesting what you want out of life. Mm-hmm. On the first topic, the matriarchy in religion, you know, while she was discussing the mother, maiden, crone triplicity, I couldn't help but think how modern religions are solar. Christianity, Islam, Judaism, these religions are solar with roots in the age of Aries. But before the age of Aries was the age of Taurus. And then religions were lunar, you see? Mm-hmm. Feminine, bull, lunar religions. And now when the age of Aries took supremacy and the Jews received the law on Mount Sinai, the matriarchy came to an end. And as a consequence, as a society, we psychologically have lost our way to honor the goddess. And this has had serious consequences in our society. We don't, and we're not even aware of this as a social fault, which is sad. That's one thing that leapt out at me. Also, what she said about getting what you want out of life really resonated with me a lot. The Church of Light, which you actually turned me on to, has a very simple formula for manifesting things in this world. Directed thinking plus induced emotion. That's how you manifest things in this world. And, you know, the way Charlene was describing it, I really like how she sort of took the side of attraction instead of egotistically thinking that you can go out and sort of become a self-made person. You see, I really like that a lot. You know, to make magic in your life, to get the good job, to get the right partner, to get the influence and the authority in society that you're seeking, it's not something you can do on your own. You mm-hmm. have to attract it to you by directed thinking, which means seeing yourself sitting behind that desk of authority, seeing yourself in a happy domestic situation, combined with induced emotion, which essentially means manufacturing and engineering the proper attitude in life. Okay, and you do those two things, in time, what you want will be attracted to you. Simple as that.
Claim it now.
Claim it now. See yourself, visual. I mean, and these metaphysical topics are not restricted solely to occult technologies. These are things you hear in Christianity, in Eastern philosophies, in Islam, in Judaism. You know, this is a pan-religious type of idea, and thus a very real and helpful one. So this is a great interview. I loved it from start to finish.
Thank you. I wanted to say to you, Stephen, you were referring to the different ages, and I've read some amazing books this week by Dr. Maria Kumann, who has agreed to join us for a show. I'm not sure whether it will be January or February, but she is so smart, it's just unbelievable. And she spent her life researching religion, archaeology, philosophy, science. She's a quantum physicist. Her books are just mind-blowing. But one of the things that really stuck in my mind from a book I read yesterday was that the Sphinx was originally built as a reminder that the age of Leo, fixed age of fire, that is cataclysmic.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That's why it was built. It was built as to serve as a reminder to us that we must look out for the age of Leo, because that's the age of mass extinction. Fortunately, it's a long, long way off. But she proves that that's the case. It's very interesting, and she's got so much to share. I mean, you could do a 1,000-hour show with her and not run out of things to ask.
Well, I tell you, Steve, you know, as professional psychics, we're accustomed to dealing with time all in one big lump, present, past, and future, sort of wrapped all up in one thing together. And we use astrology a lot of times to see both past and present. And, you know, we can look at an individual natal chart and understand that person's life. But the interesting thing is that when we sort of zoom out and we look at the astrological age, which lasts, you know, a couple thousand years, then we get to make predictions that are much more far-reaching, much more all-encompassing of entire humanity. And it's truly fascinating. I love astrological analyses of the various ages. And, you know, the science behind it, the astronomy behind it, is difficult to grapple with. But once you do, it pays rewards that well exceed the effort made to understand them. And I'm looking forward to that guest you referred to as well. I'm going to have some questions for her, that's for sure. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, you'll love her. She is so smart, so interesting. really exciting. I'm so happy that she's going to join us.
You know how to pick them.
Let's see. Now, we're going to start taking callers in a moment. But before we start, I want to give out the telephone number again just for everybody's reference. It's 724-444-4851. Do remember that when you call in, you can still hear the show on the telephone. You're on hold, in effect, listening to the show until you get through. When you do get through to us, speak up nice and clear so that we can hear you and give us your question. It is one question per caller. But before we take a call, I want to just go back to Maureen for a moment and say, Maureen, are you there, Maureen? Can you hear
me
okay?
Yes, I'm here. I can hear you perfectly, yes. Thank you.
I want to ask you about the tarot because I love the way you describe the tarot as being a documentation, in effect, of human experience.
Yeah.
Of all of the things that can occur to us, occur within a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And how do you feel the tarot describes that process of alchemy or creating circumstances now?
As in the now, in the present, in the particular individual's life?
What does it tell us about creating or manifesting?
Right. Well, you know, she's talking about consciousness and such, and the ego, and it all goes, you know, like I said, I've been self-taught. I self-taught in tarot, but what I did find, because I'm a union, you know, I'm a union gal, you know, Carl Jung, just everything. You know, if you look in the tarot and go back into the union analytical thing of the archetypes and everything, to me, I don't know if this is going to answer your question. For me, it does come down to being able to be self-aware and intact, even to the things that are maybe not the most best part of ourselves, but to go through the process of learning it, which is necessary to become more conscious of getting it right, or if you don't get it wrong, it's not to be judged, but also to it does go back in that ego, you know. It's the lessons that must be learned, but also must be, you know, held accountable with your head up high with them, even if they're not the best feeling, in order to get to the other processes of getting through it. And sometimes you may not get through it. It's really not easy to look at yourself. And to the tarot, that's how it was with me. It was bittersweet, but I was up for the task. But it's so much easier to be in denial. But then like I said, I don't feel very like I'm in belonging or connected. We are all here. We all are born with some psychic in it. We'll call it whatever word you want. Inheritance. And there you have it. And it's up to us to tap into that. Some use something else. The tarot, I feel, is definitely one that is just part of all life experiences.
Yeah, we need some more shows on the tarot because there's just so much to learn.
Yeah, I think we do. Well, yeah, I think you're right. Absolutely.
We should do that. I know of a couple of people we could bring on as well. Well, Maureen, we're going to start taking calls, and actually you're first.
No way. I can't do that. I just spoke.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay. I feel really good, so I can do this. So, yeah, I can do it.
Great.
Yeah, I'm fine. Okay, and I didn't see who it was. Ooh, there's some partying. Is there some games? There's all these people going, yay. There's some. Never mind. Hello, caller from
Pennsylvania.
Thank you. From Pennsylvania. This is Maureen.
Hello, Maureen.
Hi. Is this
Penny?
Penny. Hi. How are you?
Yes. Good. Good.
Good.
I was wondering about. I just started two new jobs.
Okay.
And I was wondering if sort of relates into the. I only caught the last part of the show tonight. If it sort of relates, if the part-time job relates to like the program tonight, that this was a job that I was that I've been asking for.
And you got, you know, I got it. I got what you're saying. You were, you know, and I know you're such a great, you know, we all know you and so well, and you're a very lovely woman. You're open, and I love that. And when I don't remember things, it doesn't mean that I didn't mind. It means you got, I take it in, take it out. I'm objective when I read it again. Were you looking for two jobs, particularly?
No, I was just, I would like to have just one stable, steady job instead of.
But sometimes, okay, the things we think we don't need are the things that we need the most. And I know that by experiences, and it didn't make sense to me. But kind of like what you're talking about, is this like what we put? What she was talking about this evening. Are you okay? So what you're asking me is this maybe perhaps going on in your situation. I'm sorry, everybody got real hyper. I'm in California. It's earlier here, everybody. I don't know what game was just. So silly games. Everybody's like loud. I apologize. Penny, so are you asking me, and could this possibly be what's kind of like going on with you, and you kind of, you know, came your way,
yeah,
and seeing this as a really good positive thing?
Right.
And, you know, there's no doubt.
Not so much the full-time job. Not so much the full-time job, but the part-time job.
Okay. Okay, so the part-time job, right? You know what? There's an incompletion, definitely. You know, I do see. This is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing there's a definite incompletion surrounding your situation. Incompletion means, you know, once you get something like completed, you can go on open to a new beginning, or something opens up and you wouldn't have gotten there. Like I said, things you think you don't need, or less, or people, whatever, are the things that we actually need the most, but we don't have that thought process when it's going on. But, you know, I do, there's so much opportunity. I do see a job. It looks like within a 3-month period of time, I see you working. It looks like another building. There's a building or something that I see you mastering your abilities, which, and I don't feel it's going to be. And so this is the part time. You know, this is fascinating. I see a woman around here. It's going to be very opportunity, but I don't see you doing it for long. I see. Does that make sense? A 3-month period. I could be wrong on my time frame, but I do see this like as a 3-month situation. But I do feel that this is going to be something where someone's going to acknowledge you for what your skills are, and for you've been over qualified. I see a really good new opportunity coming. Now I see sleeping better. I see a woman that's going to be really influential about, and a man. There's a male energy here too, with capital, with opportunity, a new project, something new that will come out of this. You have a lot of great things coming up, and you know, when people say thank you for the reading, I go, why thank me? It's, you know, you own it. It's your thing. But I do feel that things have been an incompletion. Now, I know that I'm seeing a new change of maybe residence or environment in your home.
Yes, I'm going back. As soon as I get my farmhouse fixed up, I'm going back to my farmhouse.
It's fantastic. It looks fantastic. You know, everything that you're doing is as it should. Okay, the second job that you're doing right now, did you say that it's the second? I'm calling it the second job. This is something that you'd like to see yourself. I don't see. I see a 3-month period. Like I said, I could be off. But it looks like a 3-month cycle. And it looks like by March, but it's going to open a new great opportunity. It's almost like from that, there's some really great new opportunity that will come within that. And I don't feel that you're going to have to work so hard and hard and hard and see the fruits of your labor. It's going to come. And just when it's fantastic, it's really good. And I feel that you may need to get some more knowledge even, but it's going to be really nice and exciting. It's going to be more challenging. You can feel more passion about a work situation or your work. And like I said, you're overqualified anyway in the main job that you're doing. You're overqualified. And and I see you getting acknowledged and credit where it's deserving. And like I said, I see you more rested too and enjoying the new home environment. And there's completion. It's like a good timing, and then completion comes. It's fantastic. There's so many great. I think I've read for you before on this, and I always feel really good. Everything's so warm and feeling so warm. It looks like springtime.
Okay.
It's really great. Very good.
Thanks.
But you just thank yourself again. You deserve it. It's very unconventional. It will work out like this. It's fantastic.
Thanks. It's just, I mean, I'm like up in the morning at four, and I don't get to bed till 10, and 7 days a week, and it's just to make things go.
That's really tough. But I don't feel that will be going on. Like I said, I see within a 3-month period, it could be before that. I don't feel that we'll be going into, by the springtime, things are going to be quite different. Very positive for you, and it deserving. Very deserving.
Thank you.
Well, thank yourself again. Thanks, Penny, for calling. Have a great night. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Maureen. Great reading. Okay, now the next caller is for Stephen, and this is a call from New York.
Thank you very much, Steve. Hello, who am I speaking with in New York?
Hi, I'm Anne.
Well, hello, Anne. Thank you very much for calling. How can I help you today?
I have sort of a friend of a friend who lives in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. and he's married, and we've been chatting on Facebook a lot, and he asked me if he could come and stay over at my place because he's doing a trade show in New York. And I said yes originally, but now I'm not sure. I mean, he said he wasn't going to tell his wife. And I said it was fine because it's his responsibility, but now I'm not sure if I should be doing this or not.
Ah, I see. Your concern is that the wife might not know about it and that it'll cause some chop in the domestic waters, right?
Well, I guess even more so that you'll get around and people will dislike me more so. Like, I'm more concerned about me, unfortunately, than their domestic life, because I think their domestic life, is, from what he says, is already falling apart. But I don't want to get a bad reputation among people who know me.
Right, and you know what? What I see clearly is that is precisely what would happen. It's not a very good idea. You want to avoid this situation like the plague. Think up a nice excuse or whatever, be as polite as you possibly can, but my strong, urgent advice to you is to decline this, simply because if you don't, I can see right now that you will not only get dragged into the quagmire, but your reputation will take serious hits. The wife is going to slander you behind your back, for one thing, and it's really just best to encourage this gentleman to get a hotel when he comes to New York for the trade show. And as much as you're trying to be a nice person, and I understand you're trying to just offer a hand of friendship, it's a friendly gesture, he's going to misinterpret that quite likely. B, again, you're going to be mired in a terrible domestic situation, and C, your reputation is going to suffer. Okay, Anne?
Okay. Well, okay. Thank you for that.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Thank you very much for calling us up to, get a second opinion about that. It seems to me that what I'm saying is sort of jiving with your intuition, no?
Well, at first it wasn't, and then I was thinking about it and realized, okay, if the wife, I don't know, I just don't want to get into anything where, somebody could potentially say, well, you knew he is married, and you agreed to this, and it's like, well, it's his decision, but then I'm also an adult, so I should know what I'm doing. I should be thinking about it, so.
Well, absolutely, it's best just to avoid it, and you'll be just fine. Okay, Anne?
Okay, thank you.
Hey, thank you, and come see us at psychicaccess.com, okay? We'd love to hear from you again.
Okay, thanks.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, and thank you for that reminder, Stephen. Just for everybody's reference, we can't spend an inordinate amount of time with each caller. So if you've got follow-up questions or you want to go into more detail, then you can contact us at psychicaccess.com anytime. Okay, now the next caller then is for Carmen, and this is a call from Pennsylvania. Carmen?
Hello. Hi. Nice to meet you.
Hi, Carmen. How are you?
I'm okay. Have we met before? What's your name?
Yes. This is Tishan. Philadelphia. I'm Pennsylvania. Oh, sorry.
Hello.
I have a lot of things going on, so a general would be fine with me.
Okay. So I'm going to try and just, if you can help me, because we don't have I have a way of reading. So I'm going to just see, and I'm only allowed to really give so much time. To give you a general reading would be just to give you an idea as to what stands out, specifically what the trending or the atmosphere is like in your life. And
okay,
what it says
well,
here, yeah, is it the, oh, I'm sorry, there's a bit of a lag, so we, what were you saying?
I was going to say, well, I'm going through a rough patch financially, and I'm afraid that somebody's trying to come after me.
You mean to collect from you? Okay. It says here, that is very frightening, by the way, and I'm not going to whitewash that and say it's easy, but what seems to come up in your reading is that there's something hidden, a hidden partnership, and so this person that's coming after you, are they a main lender, or are they, that's what I would say here, is that they may just be sort of managing the situation from afar and not necessarily pursuing right now. So in a way, when you say come after, do you mean repossession or garnishee?
No, I was thinking more of my ex trying to come after me to take from me.
Okay. You can't legally do that, though. But
okay.
In terms of anything that he can do to intimidate you, what it does say here is that that is still not going to come through right away. There still is some kind of a restraint, maybe that he has, but it's coupled with this ongoing obsessive need to go through and do something. So it's like, I think that you guys are still very telepathically joined, and you are picking up on his impulses. And interestingly enough, let's say short term, before Christmas, I don't see any interference here. He keeps his distance. And do you have people who support you right now?
Well, I have just my kids.
Okay.
I have my kids.
So nobody, like the police or anybody?
No,
because
I think maybe, no, I don't have the police or anybody. He doesn't bother me. I just had that fear.
Okay. Because what it does say here is that it's mostly all at bay and obsessive, mutually obsessive. And this isn't to make you feel bad, but it's saying here that you are both kind of thinking about this ultimate outcome that may not actually occur. That's actually good news, but you live in fear. I don't feel that that is easy for you. But in the meantime, I'd say you have to take from this reading that this is completely still. The energy does not move forward, nor does it move into a dangerous process. It seems to be here, inconclusive. He's withdrawn, and he may just be watching, but that's all he can do and all he may do. And your finances do not change over the next little while. So what you have here is, unfortunately, from what I can see in your reading, for your kids, a big worry. And I'm just going to see if there's any light for you, because I understand that when it's not just you, it would be so much easier if it were just you. Maybe you could change things. But it says here, after one of the kids has started school, something will change. Now I'm looking at, trying to think about, maybe this is the new year. So they come back from holiday, from the Christmas. And so it sort of stays the same, but maybe one of the kids is going to, I'm not sure how that affects it, but that's where there's some kind of a change for you, in that you maybe save money, or that maybe something is gifted back to you. So it's hard for me to determine, but it's something about timing. I know we're talking about timing tonight, and we do have difficulty seeing that. I'm sorry, what was your question, your comment?
I was going to say, well, my daughter is home. She's working, but she starts back in school in January.
That is what your concern is? She's going to save money still. I had an inkling of that, but it does say here when she goes back, that change that you see, you still maintain some stability. But, of course, she's going to be ramping up her needs for the next season. I think she's already thinking about her next job. So, in a way, it's just a fluidity, and hopefully she's put away enough of her stash, of her stuff, and helped as much as she feels she could for her own needs. But she's going to conserve, and that is good news for you. And I wanted to thank you for your call. And just remember, yeah, we're here for our free readings and such, and also here for you. I'm not going to lie to you and say that I see a lot of stability over the next 2 months, but your ex isn't coming after you yet. That's all you got to live with, in a sense, and then you just get used to it. After a while, you just won't be afraid anymore. And
okay,
maybe
so
one day he does, and then so what?
And then my finances are not changing, but nobody's coming after me, and I'm fine. Everything's at a standstill as far as anybody coming after me.
That's correct. It's just a standstill. So what it means, it could be terrifying. Absolutely. But that nothing moves ahead. Okay?
Okay.
So, yeah, that's a bit of reassurance for you.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
And I just want to say it's not easy. And you'll probably be through this in 2 to 3 years. But, you know, when you have kids,
Say that again.
2 to 3 years, 2 to 5 years before there is a complete and utter change for you.
Oh, wow. That's
that's probably indicative of what the line of crisis is like with people. I don't mean to say that. It could be 2 to 5 months, but that's just my own comfort here. I'm just saying you'll be through it, and then that's it. That's your life lesson. Done. Completely done.
Oh, okay.
And then I think you should just imagine that.
Well, I've been through it. It's been going on for 3 years now, so I might be at the end of it, I hope.
I would say, when did the process start? Maybe I'm seeing the end of this 5-year period of change. How old are your kids, and when did you get divorced?
Well, my kids are 22 and 19, and they're both home with me right now. One is expecting, and one is in school. And we've been separated for 3 years.
Okay. So let's say you've got 2 more years, and that I was seeing that the total time was 5. Isn't that? I really want to keep my fingers crossed that that is what I see, and it could be. One of these days, I will sit down and take a few months off and properly study timing patterns. But I would say that right for the most part, I get them on the fly; they just come in, and it would be on par with your life lesson, which was 2 to 5 years when people get through. A crisis. Usually it takes that long, no matter what the severity of the crisis is. It can be a very small one. It can be a very big one. And I appreciate this.
I think you might be right. I might be at 5 years because I really started this ordeal in 2009.
Yeah. And at this stage, I would say that you're probably just got to get your headset around this. Like, can you believe that this has been this long and that you're still here?
Mm-hmm.
So I have to move you on, and I will put us through to our next caller.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I have our new caller coming in. So, but that is somewhat good news.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Great reading. Thank you, Carmen. And the next caller is for me from California. Who's calling?
Hi, yeah. I was wondering if you could take a look into this guy named Mark and tell me like what you see, what's going on with him in regards to me, and what you kind of see for us in the future and how I should behave to get the best results.
Okay, what's your name?
Christy.
Christy. Did you say Christy?
Yes.
Okay, Christy. Right. Well, you know, I feel like you've got to be patient in this situation. I do feel that there are good prospects between the two of you, actually, although I feel that the situation's quite upside down at the moment. In other words, I feel that there's some history between the two of you. I don't feel that you've just met each other very recently. There's some history here, and there's been some discord. There's been some tension and upset between the two of you. But I feel that in this, and often I tend to encourage people to move on. But I do feel that in this case, there's potential between you and Mark. Did you say his name is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I feel that something went wrong. There was an issue that came up, and I know that that's been hurtful for you. I feel that you've had some upset and hurt feelings associated with Mark and your connection to him, and I know that he's somebody that's focusing very much on his career path and how he's going to make his way in the world and be successful. I do feel that right now that he's actually looking at different professional opportunities, and that may involve some travel or some distance between the two of you, but I don't feel that it matters in the longer term. I do feel that now he's focused on career. I feel that he's got quite a lot of opportunity, to think about, but I do feel that you stay in contact, and I do feel it's quite likely that you will end up together.
Okay.
So I feel like you need to be patient and trust, maintain the connection with him, be understanding about the opportunities he faces and the decisions that he faces, be supportive of his path, his career path particularly, and his need to pursue his professional path, but trust, because there's a connection between the two of you that hasn't been extinguished, and it is quite possible you'll end up together again. Okay?
Okay. So I shouldn't be ignoring him. I should,
feel that you... I feel like you should maintain the connection.
So maintain it. Okay. So
yeah.
Convert
yeah.
with him then.
But in a very calm, mature manner. Christy, you know, be friendly, be relaxed, but maintain the connection, because I think that I feel quite strongly that things could change significantly between the two of you in future. Okay?
So I should, like, be initiating the contact then?
I feel that you should make an effort, yeah. I don't feel like you should be needy or come across as needy, but I feel like you should keep the door open with him. And if that means making the first move at this stage to maintain contact, then I feel okay with you doing that. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome, Christy. Thank you.
All right.
Well,
bye.
You're welcome. Good luck. Now, the next caller then is for Maureen. And Maureen, your call is from Missouri.
Thank you, Steve, very much. Hello, Missouri.
Hello. How are you?
Hi. And who am I speaking to, please?
You're speaking with Christina.
Hi, Christina. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you so much for asking. And what can I look into or help you with or shed light on? And have fun?
There's a guy that I'm interested in. He's going to be here next week, and we're supposed to hang out together. And I kind of want to get his feelings towards me and, like, what's going to happen next week between us.
Okay, so this is a person that you've met recently. Did you say a call? I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Well, it's nice if I someone asked me if I was a college student after 40 years ago. So I don't mean to insult you, but what I'm hearing you say is you met this person. It's a very new relationship. You want to know if it's going to be eventful enough or perhaps maybe going to move forward. Correct? Is that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Okay, just reword it. And, you know, could you tell me how I can address him? You can say any name. I mean, some nicer name than anybody's name. Could you give me his name so I can...
I'm Julius.
Julius. That's a nice name. I like that. Okay. Is he into sports? No, I'm joking. I'm sorry. I've just been hearing so many... I've been talking about that all... Isn't it? Everybody's like, you know, sports all over the place. Okay. This is what I'm getting. And it looks very, very nice. I feel that... Both of you, I'm getting both of you have shared something that's pretty similar in the baggage that you're carrying, and it's not bad. We all carry baggage. But it does appear to me like it's like a try to work it out, which is great. You're both not afraid of commitment, but trying to work out something in the past with maybe a relationship, but it just wasn't going to go on. It wasn't like, you know, if he had known someone you did in a relationship, tried to come back into it, but it didn't work, which is okay. Meaning, I feel you're both really healthy individuals separately, which is a good timing for you two. What I'm seeing here is very positive. I feel that I see you. You said it's going to. He's coming up. Is it this week? You said coming up this week.
Yeah, next week.
Next week, I'm sorry. Well, coming up next week. So you're going to be on the break. Isn't that winter break? Okay. I see you two really, you know, I don't know how well, you know, but he looks like he likes to hold hands. He's a real hands-on, you know, some people like to hold. I see him holding your hand. You really are connected. And there's a lot of love and there's a lot of harmony and a lot of respect. And it's not... It's going to be lovely, and there is affection there, and I see attraction, but in a very nice, I'm not going to say sweet, in a nice, wonderful, real, caring way that two people could express it. And I don't feel that you thought that, or either one of you thought, and you know what, it's almost like I feel like you both have this rapport, you have felt like you've known each other forever. It's not like real comfortable, like it's boring. It just is very nurturing and with not a lot of words. I see very good positive time. And I see you really connecting, and I'm not saying it's like about physical jumping on each other. I'm not saying that won't happen. You know, you're attracted, but it's more like, it's deeper than that. It's deeper than physical, which is an added bonus, okay? And I feel you just feel right. Do you feel like that with him anyway when you're with him? Like, it just feels like you have a good, like you've known him for a while. It's a strong bond, like you've just known each other. I also feel that you're very tired, a lot of times. Are you looking for a serious relationship along the way with somebody that has the same kind of view as you right now? I mean, is that an option in your mind? It's not like you're... I don't see you just wanting to have fun. It looks like this person is healthy. The best I can say is stable, healthy, has, you know, dealt with some of his stuff, and you too. I feel this is going to be a really good opportunity here. And I feel that both of you are open to it. I don't think you... I'm not seeing that you'll be running in that kind of way from each other. It looks very good, Julie, and very equal. It's really lovely. And like I said, I don't see a lot of talking. I don't see nervousness, really nurturing. But he likes... It looks like holding hands, intertwining and holding hands. You know when some people like to hold your hand and kind of... I'm not going to go into... It's not a bad thing, but it's actually very beautiful. He's a very tender person. I'm not saying he's a wimp, but are you there? Are you there? Are you listening? Hello?
I'm here.
Okay. I'm over. I hope it's not sounding too... No, it's really lovely. And I'm not... Usually I'm going to lovely. It's not like... It's really great. And it's time for each of you. And I do see a completion where a new beginnings can open up. And not only that, it's interesting. There's going to be some other things going on individually, and you'll have to get through. But there's some money, financial stuff. But I do see you moving forward with him. And I hope you do. It's your choice. But I really hope you do. This person is a good person, and he can be trusted. He's real. He's truth. He really is. And he wants the same things. He could be committed to a relationship. It's great. This is really great. You deserve it. Both of you, like I said, it's time.
Okay.
Why not, you know? Well, I hope I helped you or gave you some insight of any sort. But thank you very much for calling. Bye. Have a great night.
You too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen. Well, the next caller is from Maryland for Stephen.
Thank you very much, Steve. Hello, who am I speaking with in Maryland?
Jamie.
Hi, Jamie. Thank you very much for calling, and happy holidays to you. How may I help you tonight?
Just wondering what's going on physically and mentally.
What's going on physically and mentally? Okay, let's see what we have going on right now. Please give me 1 second to pick up on this, okay? What's going on physically and mentally? Wow. First of all, every single one of these cards that I'm looking at deal with the air element, coins. So this tells me that probably one of the big topics that's at issue here is either going to be money or sociability, your friendships and your ability to communicate with people. And often these issues are related. You see, our ability to communicate properly goes hand in hand with our ability to make a living in this world. The Knight of Coins especially, it refers to thoughts on these matters. Now this is all dealing with the mental sphere. Physically, there would probably be a lot of, I hate to use the word psycho, but psychosomatic issues. In other words, any physical ailments they could have as their foundation, emotional disturbances, you see. So the important thing is going to be to smooth out the emotional wrinkles in your life, and then you'll see that you'll have more vigor, more energy, and more health, first of all. Also, Trump number 7, which is the Chariot, that's reversed. Now, upright, this card is going to symbolize a healthy ability to go out and get what you want, to be victorious and achieve things in life. But this card is reversed. It's impeded. And so it suggests that your ability to go out and impose your will upon the world is hindered, do you see? It's impeded somehow. Now, I mean, what are your thoughts on some of these things I'm saying so far?
You're right.
Okay. I'll tell you what. Let's shift focus here and see what you need to do to get the best result out of life, okay? Now that we've sort of diagnosed what's at issue here, what does she need to know the most in order to get the best result? Okay, let me shuffle these cards very quickly. I like to be thorough when I shuffle the cards, just in case there are any repeat cards. You see, what does she need to know the most in order to get the best result out of life? Yes. I'm convinced that once you do smooth out these emotional wrinkles, then you're going to feel a resurgence of your vitality. A resurgence. So bear with me. Almost there. We're picking up on exactly what you need to do to get the best result out of this pickle that you're in. It's not a permanent pickle, I promise you that. Okay, we have the Queen of Scepters, the Queen of the Fire Element. And this ties into all those things I was saying about sociability, because this card belongs to Leo. Leo is charismatic. Leo is the center of attention. Leo wields personal authority. So this is the goal. You want to be more like the Leo temperament. Don't be shy. Get out there and be aggressive. Okay? Now, the Trump number 3, the Empress, she's telling me that relationships and harmonizing your relationships, that's not what is important. And probably because you harmonize too much. In your efforts to harmonize, perhaps you become a yes man. You see what I'm saying? You agree too much with people when perhaps what you need to do is stand up to them sometimes, to stand up for what it is you believe in, and to defend yourself against those who might be aggressive towards you. That's going to be a very important thing as well. So it's not going to be an issue to harmonize with people, and you know, making sure everybody gets along in your world, that's not what's important. You need to avoid that. What you need to do is signified by the 3 of coins. The number 3, it stands for action, taking action, and also easy action, peaceful action. But this is in the arena of your social life and also your money. Okay, these things are going to improve once you improve your financial behaviors. You know, when you have more spendable income to go here, to go there, then you'll have more friends, better friendships. So what I want to impress upon you is that there's a definite linkage between your ability to interact with people and your financial success. You fix one, the other one's going to fall in place, okay? And also, I see that as a result of these behaviors, your emotional extravagance is going to tone down quite a bit, and you'll have a lot more emotional wisdom. So to wrap it up here, because unfortunately we've got to move on, first things first, defend yourself. Don't be a yes person just agreeing to keep the peace on things, okay? What you want to do is agree when you really agree, but when it's time to defend yourself, defend yourself. Tactic number two, be more like a Leo. Google it if you have to. Be charismatic, aggressive, and enjoy your life. Once you start forcing yourself to enjoy life, you'll see that you've actually faked yourself into enjoying it. And hey, if you fake well enough, then it's just the same, okay? And you will enjoy life more. This is my promise to you, okay, Jamie?
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. Happy holidays, and take good care.
All right,
thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Stephen. Great reading. Well, that brings us to the end of another great show. I want to thank Doug for making everything work for us behind the scenes, keeping us running smoothly. I want to thank Charlene again for joining us and for all of her wisdom. Thank you to my co-hosts. I want to ask you, Stephen, what you have planned for us next week, same time, 8 o'clock Eastern.
Isn't there one more call? I could be wrong. Maybe I lost it.
Oh, have we got another call? I thought we were wrapping up.
I'm on top of it. No, I did some rap while you were...
No, Doug is saying we've now got another call, so we'll go ahead and take that call.
Yeah.
So thank you for spotting that.
It's me calling. Hello, John. I'm sorry. Well,
thank you, Maury. No, I saw the note previously. Okay, well, we'll take this call then. This is for you, Carmen, and this is from California.
Oh, hello. How nice. Hi, California. Hello. One person from California.
Hi. I was just wondering what you see for my love life. I'm currently not seeing anyone, but I would like to be in a relationship long term, preferably.
I might pick up on some of your past relationships and attitudes. So what I'm just going to do is, let me go with your name here to start again, please. And then just, is there anybody that you need to eliminate? Because I'm going to look at that. Usually what comes up in the last parts of a relationship, before one emerges into a new one, is the letting go process. It seems to stay here. You've done pretty well. Okay. Okay, so you've basically, you know, cleared that hurdle, you've let go, doing all the right things, and it says here you're spinning your wheels. Okay. So let's just say you put it into the into more of like a warm-up category. There's going to be about 5 interested parties, people that are going to come your way, and then it says here, now special attention is paid to your work. Your work is, I don't know if this is, it's coming in here to say there's something legal that is going to occur, there's some kind of contractual change, but it's going to take up a lot of your energy. So this is to say not necessarily bad, but it could be also the nature of your contract or what kind of job you're doing. And so then that takes it away from the romantic sphere for up to a period of about 2 months, I think. And then it says here, you'll be very happy after a return from a trip. And it says here, things are going to be sort of, there's going to be some kind of a mystery man. Okay, I like it. You're getting a mystery man. Cool. Actually, those are much more beneficial for the soul. They ease you back into relationships, and sometimes they work out, sometimes they don't. But they're awfully romantic. And so I'd say probably somebody who's got a crush on you. Not bad. And then it's like, okay, so leading you in from there, maybe someone has a crush on you. And it says here, communication is going to continue for some time. And you're going to be ending a work contract and then getting into a new relationship potentially. And let's see here. It's going to be starting all around March, actually. You can be looking at some changes and... you know, you might actually meet, I don't want to jump this, go too far ahead, but in a sense, I see somebody that's actually fairly secure is going to like you very much, and you just never know when you're going to hit them. You just never know when you're going to hit that wall, you're going to actually meet that person. You never know when that person is your love. It always feels like you're striving to another point. And I want to caution you that this person is going to be very in love with you. And that's your new man. And he's a mystery man. And I think with that, we conclude our show. And that is such a wonderful thought, though. So enjoy that. Enjoy the intrigue.
Thank you.
Okay. Call me when he comes in. I love dealing with
him. I will. Okay. I will. I'm surprised, but thank you.
Why not? It's romantic. It's a bit of a boost. You take good care. Thank you. Have a great Christmas and New Year.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Carmen. Wonderful. Well, that does bring us to the end of another great show. So, Stephen, let us know what you've got planned for us next week.
Next week is going to be an awesome show. Very, very special show. Psychic Access Talk Radio is celebrating its 200th birthday, the 200th show next week. And so I've really felt the pressure to put on an excellent show. We're going to have Jessica Murray to join us, and we're going to speak about the esoteric background of Christmas. Since we're going to be close to the holidays there, we're going to talk about the sign of Capricorn. We're going to talk about the winter solstice, just to name a few. So it's going to be a great show. Jessica Murray, a contact that you supplied me with, incidentally, Steve, never disappoints.
No, so, she's wonderful.
She is wonderful.
Be a great show. Love Jessica. Very, very smart lady.
So do I. It's going to be very informative for us all. So looking forward to that.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to say goodbye to everybody. Join us again next week for that great show with Jessica. And I'm going to hand over to my co-host to say goodbye in the order of Maureen, Carmen, and Stephen.
Good night and good evening. Bless your hearts. Bye. Sorry, it's funny. Okay.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.